If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hello, friends. We're back again. Welcome to Fightful. It's August 28th, 2025. And it's time to talk about TNA Impact. Heck of a night. You know who I am. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. And I'm thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky. And with me, as always, my ride or die. Suddenly, she has done a babyface turn that is completely out of nowhere. And now she just wants to make amends for all of her past actions. She's here for you. She's here for me. She's here for everyone to see. Cresta Starr is here. How you doing?
Cresta Starr does not apologize for anything. You're going to have to take it at face value. Corporate Cresta is locked in this evening. I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Mr. Pearl. Can I call you Mr. Pearl? I will call you Mr. Pearl. TNA, let's talk about it. Tricky Williams. Let's talk about it.
You know what? I didn't hate the wrestling tonight. There are a couple matches where I was like, could have done better. There is some stuff that I'm kind of vacillating on. They're certainly trying to tell some stories with Impact. And there are some things that are hitting, and there are some things that I'm sitting and saying, you're very clearly just spinning your wheels until October. And it's the end of August. So I'm curious where we go. We did find out on Sunday that Ash by Elegance captured the Knockouts Championship at NXT Heatwave. It's going to be a huge celebration by Elegance next week. That's going to be fun. I'm of certain mindsets when it comes to her winning the title. We can talk about that when we get to that segment. Everything that's going on with Santana and Trick Williams, of course, that's a big deal. And it looks like Steve Macklin and AJ Francis might be getting into something, which, again, they've been in each other's orbit a little bit. They've already fought for the inaugural championship, so we're going to see how that goes. If that's the way they're going, again, with the tag match. And there's some stuff going on. There's some stuff to sink your teeth into. There's some stuff you're going to wonder what the hell's going on. And overall, this wasn't a bad episode. It just felt like we were the last batch of tapings before we go to the next town. And that's what this was in terms of where we were on the schedule and on the slate. Because next week is a live episode from Minneapolis. Exciting. I like a live episode. Who doesn't? But overall, this was an episode with wrestling, and the wrestling was good.
You are a lot more corporate Cresta than I am, because I personally did not find the storyline riveting. It was a little sports insulted. I don't know if that's the right word. Let me try that again. I decided to say that I'm going to be sports entertained, because if you're going to play in my face, I'm going to play right back. And that's why I clocked in for work this evening.
Well, we're here, and we want you to clock in your thumbs up. We want you to subscribe to the channel. We are building an empire, my friends. Over 200,000 subscribers on this channel. Over on Fightful Overbooked, we want to get up there. So go ahead and subscribe to that channel. We have a morning show that I host with Jeremy Lambert 5 days a week. SP3 is there as well on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's called In the Weeds. I talk about it here. I hope y'all go and find us. We run 10 a.m. Eastern, and we talk about everything. Some of it's wrestling, some of it's not. That's over on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister station. Check that out. Fightful Scraps. We have Fightful Scraps. If you don't know what that is, it's Clips channel. It's literally pieces, bits and bobs from bits we've done, interviews and comments and things like that. If you want to go check that out, it'd be greatly appreciated. We always like that. And of course, right back here, you can donate to Super Chat tonight, right now, as we stand, and get your comment read on the air. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll guide it with you. With your super chats or your humper chats. And Chris is going to explain that process.
Do you like watching Fightful? Do you enjoy Joel Pearl and Cresta Starr talking about TNA? Well, you too can join in on the conversation over at humperchats.com. Yes, that is humperchats.com. There you'll place your comment in the comment box and your donation in the donation box, and we'll read your comment aloud on air, and we get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. It is non-refundable, so make sure you're spending it where? On humperchats.com. We're checking attendance there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We do like checking attendance here. But also we like talking to you. I have an interview with Evil Uno that just dropped yesterday. Go check that out. Maybe it was 2 days ago. Regardless, he and I spoke at the C4 Wrestling in Ottawa, Canada, and their Fighting Back event. That's the reason why I missed talking about TNA Emergence and the reason why I missed that 1 week of TNA when SP3 popped in for me. But Uno and I spoke about Fighting Back, which is a benefit for the Canadian Cancer Society. We talk about Mystery Wrestling and the show they're doing on All Out Weekend. Plenty more. We even talk about a friend of mine that I have had for 20 years who he and I played in a band together, Cresta. We played in a band together when we were 18 years old. And this kid, I swear to God, would go on international tours with major well-known metal bands. And now here we are, 20 years later, he and I ran into each other at Mystery Wrestling. And I asked, what the hell are you doing here? And he said, I'm working. What are you doing here? And I said, I'm working, but like different, because I was covering the show and I was interviewing Uno. This was last year around April. That friend of mine is currently training to be a wrestler. And it's out of nowhere that he's also, he's training at The Keep, which is Uno and Stu Grayson's school in Ottawa, Gatineau. So we had a conversation about my pal Brian Powers. So go check that out. Very surreal, very strange, but I had to bring it up because Brian's an old friend, and I'm gonna talk about my old friends on camera that are from the music industry that people don't really know or think about or talk about. So there you go. Go check out my interview with Evil Uno, would you?
Good friends put over friends, and that's how you don't go into business for yourself, but into business for the business.
I'm going to get him heat because he's still training and he's being talked about by his trainers on Fightful.
Imagine skipping the line.
The dude's been, I say this with the most love, Brian's had a horseshoe up his butt for the entirety of his life. The man works very hard, but a little luck goes a long way.
I'll see him in WWE in 3 years.
It's a good looking dude. You might. Impact opens up with Santana and Steve Maclin defeating Trick Williams, the TNA champion, and AJ Francis. This was a solid match. I like that they put this on early. They put this on first. And this is something, Cresta, that I love in my wrestling, and that is a through line story in an episode where one thing goes to the next, and throughout the episode, you are confronted with the story. And from the beginning to the finish, Trick Williams, the TNA title, and the match against Santana that's coming at Bound for Glory is on the horizon. So a good match. Again, a lot of Santana early. The heat from AJ Francis is fantastic. I need to point out post-production, they cleaned up the white balance issues from last week. And then they didn't, because later on it was back to normal. So something got messed up in post. Hey, Steve Maclin, I see you calling moves, calling a top rope drop kick on AJ Francis. I saw that. I saw you pull him back and yell drop kick. I see you. Call you out on that. This is good stuff. Santana gets the win off the roll up. Maclin had hit a scud on AJ Francis to the outside, so that gave Santana the opportunity to win it. The post match, we'll get into the everything afterwards, but the post match in the ring, Trick and Santana fight a little bit. They scrap and then Trick rolls out, and that's the end of the match. Let's talk about it, Cresta. What do you think?
I like what you said in the beginning about a through line. I have to say, if I'm going to hate, I'm also going to heal. Shout outs to Bray Wyatt. I do like the upped production value from TNA. Like you said, that through line is now something they typically don't do, or if they do, it's not as produced heavy handed. And I liked it. Everything looked nice. Even to the, now the commentary is the, whatever sponsored drink that was fantastic. I did like that. I did like that. Damn it, AJ Francis. Much like Don Callis, you're making sure you're on TV every week. You're getting a paycheck. Whatever school Jeff Jarrett is running about making sure you get paid every day of the week, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I thought, though, AJ Francis would take the pin here, especially after... Well, I take that back. I thought AJ Francis was going to take the pin, but my mind changed after Mike Santana was getting the rolling buck 50 on Trick, like almost once, and then again, and Trick being pinned here by Santana is such refreshing news. But also at the beginning of the show, they were really putting over that the Knockouts Championship is now finally home. So it gives that more homecoming vibe. I don't like that it had to go along with these extra jumps and hoops, but if this is what it takes, Santana always looks great here. Macklin, that missile drop kick popped me. I won't lie. I will not lie, because that's something, like they said on commentary, it's not what he does. So to see a guy who normally does like the scud, will ground and pound you, to hit a drop kick, and it was a clean drop kick. It wasn't like the legs were bent like a little chihuahua. It was really, really good. I'm not mad at this. I guess critique, and even then it's not even a critique, it's just a note. With all the emphasis we're putting on Macklin now, I just want to see that continue after the eventual Mike Santana win on Trick Williams. I don't want Macklin to fall back into the background, and I feel like we've really done a good job with keeping him relevant, keeping like, well, if the TNA champion is going to be on Trick Williams, Macklin is good. If equal, you know, like, these championships are equal. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is just as good. And I like that. I like that.
They're trying to make I was going to call it the workhorse title, because that's what they call it, the international championship. They want to make it feel like a 1A, 1B. At the same time, they need to know that the world title is their world title. It is the most important. But because I want to call it the workhorse title, because the international title is the newer title, it needs to gain that relevance. And putting it on Macklin was step one. Putting him in the ring with a world champion is step two. Putting him in against world championship quality contenders, that's three. And that's what they're doing. And again, my bigger issue with the title reign that Macklin has had is twofold. One, he keeps getting into these matches where he has to do no DQ, hardcore, whatever, to defend mm-hmm. the title. And the other thing is, it's an international title, yet it's not being defended internationally. And that's something that I really hope TNA kind of goes outside the box and lets them do. Because even when Moose was the X Division champion, he would defend the X Division title at random indies. When Masha was the Knockouts champion, she would go in with the belt, but also in some cases she would defend the Knockouts World Championship. To do this with the international title would be a bigger coup for Macklin. And one thing that's so easy, and I had this discussion with Jeremy over on In the Weeds, is the idea that you send Macklin to AAA, you send him to Mexico, do you send him to another WWE affiliated promotion? That's easy pickings right there. And you can have him defend the international championship on one of the tours, on one of the big shows, whatever it is, to get the title out there, to put the name on it, and really make it an international championship. We spoke to Macklin in an interview probably 3-4 months ago, and we asked about it, and he said, I want to do it. I want to bring this internationally. I think something like that is such an easy slam dunk. They just haven't done it yet. When it comes to Macklin, that is kind of where we're at with the international title. The world title, it's stuck with Trick. We're stuck with Trick through Bound for Glory. We're trying to set up this rematch against Santana. And again, I have my feelings about it, but at least there was some movement. They're backstage. By the way, it's A-game is the drink you were thinking of. So I know Chad was talking about it. Yeah, A-game, because you got to bring your A-game, Cresta. But go ahead. I'll get your thoughts, and then we'll talk about the Trick stuff.
I will say to your Macklin comment, because I absolutely agree. I think Macklin could defend this on NXT. Macklin could defend it anywhere. I will say they probably should hold off on that, considering right now that your main title is embroiled with somebody else. So maybe have something, like Macklin said, the last line of defense. The last thing I think he wants to do right now is go to AAA. And because you didn't think that Joe Hendry was going to lose it to Trick, and we didn't think Masha was going to lose it to JC, and yet here we are. No pants dance.
No pants dance?
Because they took our pants.
All right, that's fair. Sorry, I looked at my Twitter for 2 seconds, and I saw this Stephanie's Places. She's got Surfshark as one of her, she's got a VPN as one of her adverts.
Come on now, get your money. Get in where you fit in.
No, but it's just great because it's like, hey, don't do the ESPN route. Use a VPN and use Netflix for cheaper.
She didn't say that. She just said, hey, here's a VPN.
I wonder if she knows what a VPN is.
Use your sports discretion.
That's a whole other can of worms. Anyway, backstage, Trick's being checked out in the BioFlex recovery room. And he's on the phone talking to someone and telling him to come right now. And it's the lawyer. So the lawyer's going to be here later. Originally, I didn't realize that they had filmed the lawyer thing in front of the crowd, because I knew that it was coming out and I knew he was doing it. But what I didn't know was that it was filmed in front of people so they would see who it is. I was so sure that the lawyer was going to turn out to be Luca Crisafino, the one who was the D'Angelo family lawyer on NXT.
Okay.
But it wasn't. It's this Michael O'Shea, who's the head. Also, Michael O'Shea, head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the CFL, also a dead actor. So don't ask me who Michael O'Shea is, because that's what the guy's name was for this bit. This is at the end of the show. They all come out. It's Michael, the lawyer Mike, Trick Williams. And lawyer Mike is wearing this black suit with black pants, black blazer, black tie, white shirt with brown shoes. And I'm throwing up in my mouth. Sorry, the fashionista in me was just disgusting.
Listen, I love it when men take on other men. I support men's wrongs in this case.
I told y'all it was the same thing with, shout out to Skylar. When Skylar came out that one week in very ill-fitting pants, and then the next week he suddenly had much better-fitting pants. Shout out to John Skylar. When you listen, you look good. Anyway, I don't know if this was for heat or because he didn't have, I don't know. The tie was way too short and the pants were way too low. It just looked bad. Trick comes out with him, says words. Santino interrupts, basically wants to book the match for Bound for Glory. And then the lawyer Mike got mouthy, and then the Cobra gets strikes on the lawyer. And we're doing that. Sure. This is the one thing that is just, it's so silly that we have to tell this story for the stupid world title, which should not be stupid, but the way that they're treating it is, it's a joke, because Santino Marella has to bring in the Cobra and get the shit in, and we have to beat up lawyer Mike with the Cobra, and Trick has to look like an idiot. The match is there. The match has been there. The match continues to be needed, but we're stuck, and this is now how we kill time until Bound for Glory. I thought they were just going to run back. Again, this tag match should have been the Victory Road main event. It would have been very good as that. But instead, who knows what we're going to do?
Maybe we'll get a run back. As far as the TNA world title picture, I guess I'm a little sports disinterested in that sense, because I've seen this song and dance. Literally with Santana, I feel like already, because I thought you were going to try to get Santana suspended or drug tested like the last guy did, or you're going to make him chase it like you did Joe Hendry. So it's like, you can only reheat your old nachos so many times before it takes like cardboard and the cheese begins to taste like warped plastic. So like you said, the match is already there. It writes itself. If you're going to have Trick say, I'm not defending it until Victory Road, no, Bound for Glory. Sure, fine. There are a plethora of other people, other enhancement jabronis in TNA and NXT that Santana could grow through, or vice versa, that Trick could go through. If Trick doesn't want to work, I respect it. You're the champ. Put your feet up. It's just a little disappointing that with Joe Hendry, we're doing this, and with Mike Santana, we're doing this. I guess I want more from TNA because I know they're capable of it, and TNA puts on quality stuff. But when you do things like this, and like you said, I hate to agree because I find Santino very sports entertaining. You want to get your shit in. At what cost? At what cost?
Again, they sent Santino in after Slammiversary, and they gave him a title match against Ethan Page for the North American title. They thought that was the answer. That was the repercussion for TNA losing, was Santino gets a match against that guy. Silly stuff. So this is something worth noting. Victory Road is the 26th of September. And that is a Friday. Saturday, the next night, is actually NXT No Mercy. And Trick's on the poster for that show. Trick's worked both nights before. That's how they did the title change when he won the TNA title. They did the tag match the night before, and then they did the championship match the next night. So he could easily do both. I mean, it's Edmonton to Florida, so it's not impossible, and it's a day's difference. They just haven't really fleshed out what his creative is other than the Santana match. For all we know, they're going to do something weird and he's going to defend the title against Santana at No Mercy. And I wouldn't love it. But also, I've talked about this multitude of times. To me, it feels like the main event of Bound for Glory is the Hardys and Team 3D. And I don't like saying that out loud, but they are certainly running to the hills with that because it was the first announced match. They're running this show based on the nostalgia. And if Santana wins at Bound for Glory, first of all, who cares, because he didn't win it in his hometown. He's winning it in literally the second, probably the worst option, because it's Boston versus New York. And Cresta, you know what that difference is. And also,
we hate those guys.
Exactly.
For no reason. We hate those guys.
He's not going to come out in a David Ortiz jersey and suddenly, like, he's not doing this. And instead, the Hardys winning, or the Hardys having a match with Team 3 as the main event, that just takes away from the moment, quote unquote, that we're all supposed to have when Santana wins the world title. So this is another thing that kind of gets me up against the wall with the Bound for Glory match that Santino keeps wanting to make, but keeps getting whatever stopped for whatever reason, is that though the Team 3D match against the Hardys, that's really what they're pushing this event on.
I will give the only pushback here is that I've heard it said in wrestling that you either want to go on first or you want to go on last. And Santana winning at the beginning of the night sets the bar really high. I do think that that's a main event, something I would want to have on last. But 3D, out of respect for both Matt and Jeff and Devon and Bubba, I can understand why they would put that on last. To me, that's the money match. Even if you are a little newer to wrestling, let's say you don't know the Hardys like that and you don't know Team 3D like that, I'm sure as one of your friends have told you something about get the table 3D, and certainly not CNC Sound Factory, because they don't even go here anymore. They don't exist, okay, in continuity.
Everybody's but, dad's dead.
Dent, your dad. Your dad is dead. Your dad is dead now.
80s kids, you get it.
I'ma be your wife. Anyway, so I don't think that it's wrong to put them on first. I think that it could work. You could set the bar really high. So if there's any other shenanigans, if you do LOL TNA, it won't feel so bad. Because you gave me the morphine at the beginning of the night. Kind of like a 2-drink minimum at comedy clubs.
Counterpoint. The world title going on first at Bound for Glory feels like such a slap in the face to the world title.
Okay, but let me ask you something as corporate as I can, okay?
Go for it.
What has CNA been known to be respectful? Oh,
Jesus Christ. Were you there for the conversation? Were you there for the what has TNA been known for the last, like, what was the last big thing TNA did? Were you part of this conversation that Jeremy and I had?
I was not, unfortunately.
Do you know what the answer that we came up with was?
LOL Santana losing?
No, well, no, the last good thing, the last thing that people
praised. Last good thing?
Last thing that they praised.
What?
I'm gonna ask you that question. I'd like to hear your take on
last
this.
Thing that TNA was praised for.
TNA did that they were praised for by the audience.
Joe Hendry.
No, that took them 3 tries to get there.
I mean, Joe Hendry got over in spite of them saying you're not that guy. And
no, that was not it, because people hated that stuff. People were actively shitting on what TNA Creative was doing until they did the here. Damn, he finally wins it, but it was too late. When was the last time they capitalized on something and really, really went with it?
Trinity?
That's 2023. That's not bad. We had something a little closer to now.
Then I'm sports stumped. I'm sports confused.
It's a very simple answer once I tell you. The rebrand to TNA. Going back to TNA.
Yeah. You got me.
That was the last universally loved, beloved moment from TNA. They haven't done anything that has been universally praised. You can say Speedball winning the title, the X Division Championship at Slammiversary last year. You can say Leon Slater winning at Slammiversary this year. I get that those are moments, but those are not moments that were like universally seen as positive main event moments coming out of a TNA event. Because at those two events, Nick Nemeth won the title in a six-way in the main event at 24, and then at 25, well, we just talked about it, and that was Santana not winning at home, and that completely soured many people on the event. The last time was Bound for Glory 23 when they came out of it going into TNA again.
No, I agree with that. You got me there, pal. That's a really good call. That's a good call. And it's kind of unfortunate when I think about it, like, damn, nothing else? No, because I think about Jordynne Grace and how I always thought, damn, wouldn't it be nice if she held the men's title? I understand why she didn't. Damn, wouldn't it be nice if Joe Hendry? Yeah, no, you got me, gal. You got me, gal. I would shake your hand and say good game, but you know.
I got you, brother. I got to do this hand. Do this one, whatever. Gia Miller's backstage earlier in the night with Cedric Alexander and Leon Slater. Cedric wants to show his respect to Leon after their match at Emergence, that's somebody else. Slater says, I can be a tag team champion for everything that I learned with the Hardys. Cedric's basically trying to play Leon Slater for gold and also trying to play him as a friend. And just while Leon Slater's kind of torn about fighting the Hardys, he's also in it to win more matches and climb the ladder. And that's cool, but he's kind of playing younger, dumber wrestler, whereas Cedric Alexander is the advantaged older guy who looks to be trying to take advantage of Cedric Alexander of Leon Slater to possibly get himself another title match or just really maintain that he's a heel, which I don't hate if that's the way they're going, but that's just kind of me reading the tea leaves and just the way that they are interacting. I want your thoughts on Alexander and Slater, because we'll talk about the main event match towards the end of the show.
On the one hand, I don't hate it. But on the other, it's like, how do you let this grown man bully you? You just really got out of a storyline and said, you know, you're going to young boy me. And you're letting somebody else say, yo, we're going to do it. It does make sense. If anyone's going to beat the master, you want to get their protege. But if you're not with it, you're not with it. And that plays out in the match later on tonight.
There you go. Eric Young defeats Myron Reed. I had never noticed before. Eric Young laces his boots 3/4 of the way up. It leaves a big open space. I don't know what that's going on with. Crowd's chanting bald at Eric Young because breaking news.
Oh, man. Shout outs to Ricochet. No matter. People chanting bald now. Of all wrestling fans, we need to do better. I was chanting it too, but we need to do better collectively.
Something. Eric Young is teasing, punching people out, more people out than an Australian politician from the far right. If you know, you know. And then there's a low blow on Myron Reed from EY, does the pile driver. EY wins. And then we'll talk about the backstage promo afterwards. The match itself was fine. It was passable. Again, Myron Reed's good. EY's great. They're both very good at what they do. I don't know if you have any extra notes to add.
I don't want to talk about the match. I want to talk about this storyline. First of all, the way that they're making Myron Reed sound like he's the third wheel, he's the lost rascal, when there was 4 of them. Fake news, false accusations, number one. Number two, I said I was going to sing Phantom of the Opera every time I sing Eric Young wrestle, but I tried to hit that high note and my cat slapped me. So I won't be doing that on the show this evening.
Very high.
But I don't understand this storyline. You're trying to make Myron Reed feel like he's out of there or whatever it is. But to me, it's no secret that the Rascals, while the fourth one is in the Shadow Realm, aka WWE, one is with a hernia. Myron Reed was going to be there. And whether it was him or Wesley at some point, they don't. It's silly. It's a silly thing to be fighting over. Also, I want to give a shout out to the guy in the crowd who said the end is near with the very third grade teacher pushboard construction paper situation.
Oh, the guy was like, "Cleanse is coming." I think that was actually a plant. I think that was someone who was supposed to be there.
Yeah, that part. But I want to give a shout out to you in the storytelling that they're trying to tell. My biggest complaint, and let me be clear, I'm afraid of you, Eric Young. So don't beat me up because I know you're a specter and I can't hit you back. Casper, get out of here. Every time he does this, it doesn't work. You got something going on with Northern Armory, and anytime you try to make it more than 2, you're going to end up getting stabbed again. And I don't know how to tell you this. It's giving Resident Evil. You're giving Wesker at this point. So I think we need to work on getting W's for Northern Armory instead of trying to be where, you know, you like the end is there. I get it. But maybe, you know, inward, the end is there for you, inward, because they're calling Ghostbusters. Look inward. I don't know what's happening. And if you recruit Myron Reed, I think I might be a little bit upset. A little bit is an understatement.
Well, to me, that's been kind of the story, right? EY's trying to recruit Myron Reed because Myron's been the odd man out for so long. Mm-hmm. So he can get away with trying to sow the seeds of dissension and just make him feel like he has never been welcomed on television as a rascal. He's always been the long lost one. And now he's got to fill in because one of his brothers is out. And as a result, he's going to come in, he's going to lose matches, and Eli's going to say, I could change that for you. Meanwhile, of course, like you said, Sinner and Saint, Northern Imory, they should probably win a couple more matches to be able to say that effectively, that they are winners.
Ask them what happened to Diener. Ask them what happened to Cody Diener before the Northern Imory. Ask them what Cody Diener was doing as the design. Ask them what they were doing as Violent Design. I hate to be that guy. Does no one watch the product?
They killed him. He's a ghost. He doesn't exist. But backstage, EY says, I'm not upset. I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I know the truth. He says, maybe I'm the only one who's thinking clearly and seeing clearly. And then they pan down, and EY took out someone. And I was like, oh, my God, he took out a Joe Hendry clone. And then I realized, oh, no, wait, that's actually Joe Hendry on the floor. Did not look like Joe. You can look at that photo. It did not look like Joe Hendry.
It looked like Joe Hendry, Joe Pearl. I don't know what to
tell. Did not look like Joe Hendry. And immediately my notes say, is the cleanse a cleanse of guys who are imminently jumping ship to WWE? Is that what the cleanse is? Because he's going to do a good job if that's the case.
Somebody cue the organ. Dun, 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 dun.
Woof. I'm intrigued. Joe Hendry having to do all of these matches on the way out is absolutely hilarious to me. Doing the Ali match, the EY match, probably do a Cedric Alexander match. Like, hey, why don't you take on all these X Division flippy guys from our past and see how you do? And by the way, you're going to lose all the way on your way out.
I have to tell you that.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Cool, almost lost it. Hi, guys. Corporate Crest is back for a moment. I just think it's a little astronomical. It's sports. It should be a sports world record to see the astronomical heights that Joe Hendry was to now being Chuck's nose killed by the specter of TNA. Woof. You know, maybe it's because I'm a stan. Maybe it's because I'm a fan even. And I'm being biased. But yikes. I have to laugh or else it'll hurt. It'll sports hurt.
I told you, senioritis. I'm telling you, I've been telling y'all, this is his senioritis.
I don't think, I feel like this is your punishment.
It's not a punishment. It's just, there's nothing else for them to do with him. Unless, like, he should have gone after Macklin, but they're both baby faces, so you can't do that. You can't have him go after the X Division Championship because that's Leon Slater's territory. You've got a bunch of baby faces, and you're not going to go after Trick because he already did that and he lost. He ate the planet's anniversary.
I guess I would say in that situation, since everything is topsy-turvy and this is Bizarro World, at that point, just put him with the system since we're trying to take back TNA. And at this time, who's more TNA than Joe Hendry?
No, he's not. No, he's not. The man's on house shows for WWE this week. What are we doing?
I would be too if I was undervalued as a star player. And even that I don't accept because Matt Cardona is doing everything. He's always ready, and that's never been a problem for them.
Well, he's the complete now. Whatever.
I'm sorry. He's complete. He's complete. Have you seen that beard? Not a gap in sight.
God damn it! Everybody knows how I feel about Joe Hendry at this point. Okay.
I will defend this man, okay? I hate to be sir, yes, sir, for Joe Hendry, but like I would if I was one Joe Hendry, and I'm not, you know, I'm Crest the Star, I'd leave too. But like, you know, I would still use my popularity here, but if you know, if I'm a Jabroni Cody 2012, I'm gonna put my feet up too, bro. Like I wanna help, but like come on, how much you this week I'm gonna be losing to the hometown man? Please don't spit on me.
Follow-up question, Cresta Star. In 3-4 months, will you be watching NXT television on the regular?
In 3-4 months, if my schedule keeps up, I'm gonna be honest with you, no. Because
you know he's gonna be there.
I know, and so is Jordan Grace, and that didn't move me. And I love Jordan Grace.
Well, there you go.
I can't watch wrestling every day of the week. If I watch wrestling every day of the week, I'm going to be like those people on Twitter and just argue with people.
Oh, I turn off every single reply and I just leave it.
Oh, you full sended a thing. Nice. No one can reply.
I'll go back if I want to. People can reply. I just don't see shit.
I respect that. I do have my notifications turned off on Twitter, but nobody tweets at me.
You're probably for the best, honestly. People are awful. Speaking of awful, Dani Luna, she's not an awful person. She's now an awful person in character, trying to make this at least somewhat coherent. She says the whole world's talking about her actions last week. She gave her all to Spitfire, but then he took away her fire. And she says trying isn't good enough, but she's done being second. And then she says Dani Luna is out of limbo, which at first I was like, God, that's hokey. And then I'm like, okay, I understand what this is in reference to. Good for her. And now Dani Luna will find herself in a 3-way next week, which we'll talk about in a minute. But your thoughts on Dani Luna week 2 of her promo. I guess I'm going to fast forward real quick. Gia Miller is backstage with Indy Hartwell. Indy's saying she's disappointed in Dani Luna, but won't back down. Santino Morello walks in and says it's Indy versus Jody Threat versus Dani Luna for the number one contendership next week on Impact Live. And that's pretty much what we got. And then I can basically tell you what the next like 3 months might look like for the Knockouts division. But your thoughts on Dani Luna now and the Indy Hartwell segment as well.
So I'm going to take it one step further with your segue, and I'm going to be able to segue into the next women's match after this. I like this because I do think, and I've said this before on our channel, that TNA is always good for one very meaty, muscly girl, and there's always an opposite to her. So right now we got Masha. Dani Luna is a great shout. I love this. I like that Dani Luna is being more assertive, and I'm here for it. With the combination of Luna, Indy, and Threat, these are stiff, striking. I don't know how to say this and be politically correct, so bear with me. They're meaty women slapping the hell out of each other, at least stiff strikers on my end. And if they're not, they're great actresses. Like, you guys are doing it. I'm sports entertained. I think this is fantastic. And one of the things you had said before, that Jody, once she gets a little bit more confident on the mic and a little bit, like, you know, more developed a character, she's going to be excellent. And putting her in this moral, in a crisis of conscience, in this situation where, yes, you want to win and you want to be fair, but Dani Luna's doing we're going to do this together. I promise, sister. It's fantastic because you're going to have to make a point. You're going to have to choose a side. The reason why I say this is a good segue into the other thing, because I won't lie, at first, I was a little sports, like, confused why the Fatal Influences versus the Inspiration. But then I had to draw myself back. And this is going to sound like a corporate answer, but I kind of believe it. So take this with a grain of salt if you want, or do a mountain of salt. I don't know. for every stiff Danny Luna, Deanna Purrazzo, Jody Threat, I think women like The Inspiration and Fatal Influence are necessary, because a lot of girls got into wrestling because of the Bella Twins. And when I look at this group, no shade, and I mean this as a compliment, in case you guys are getting weird, this is the other side of that coin. You've got girls who are giving, I'm going to beat you up, and then you got girls who are trying to kill each other. It's different strokes for different folks. And I think putting these on back-to-back with the elegance thing in between shows to me both sides of the coin of women's wrestling. You've got your stiff girls who are trying to literally staple things to their head. And on the other side, you got the girls who are screaming, who don't mind looking real cute. And that's okay too. Regina George was a fighter. She wasn't an MMA fighter, but Regina George was still a fighter. That's my influential, presidential to talk. That wasn't a word. Thank you so much for your time. World peace.
It's always the end. It's always the end caps. Always the damn end cap. Okay, are you ready for this?
Okay, yes.
Jody Threat versus Ash by Elegance of Victory Road. Indy Hartwell versus Ash by Elegance of Bound for Glory. Uh-huh. Danny Luna versus Jody Threat at Bound for Glory in some sort of weapons match, maybe, or on an Impact. Danny Luna is the first opponent for Indy Hartwell after Indy wins the title at Bound for Glory.
Oh, like, I can absolutely see that. With respect to the Elegance brand, because this was spawned that whole corporate, like, oh, this is jokes. But let me not say that. You have been angling to put the title on her since you signed her. It's just what it is. It was going to happen. So might as well use it for what it is. I think that Masha is a very dominant, almost too dominant champion. So sometimes you got to let the other girls play with it. You got to let the other girls play with it. You can't keep beating up the other girls. You got to let the other Jordan Grace, Deanna Purrazzo, you got to let the other girls play with it. You got to let the other girls play with it.
Play with it? God damn.
What would you like me to say? Hold it? Because no matter what I say, it's going to sound bad.
Better. That's true. You got to let everyone have a turn. Let's get to the Ash by Elegance promo, because it's going to play into a larger conversation. She's backstage with the Elegance brand, and she says she saved TNA. The company should be thanking her. Without Ash, the title would be tarnished and in the hands of the enemy. The Elegance era has begun, and then they're going to have a party on the live show. So we'll get into the Ash winning the title conversation in a second. Was that big old loser Sami Callihan way in the back of the shot? Because they held on that shot for a second as if you're supposed to see who was at the end of the hallway. And it looked like Sami, but I couldn't zoom in to see.
I don't know who that was. I just assumed it was a security guard. And if I think too much into it, I don't know if I've told you, I've been watching a lot of Five Nights at Freddy lore. So my mind is just, I don't want to think too much into it. Because if it wasn't pronounced, I'm going to think it's a Fazbear Pizza Bear. You know what I mean? So, you know.
This is very, very weird. I was like, why are they holding that shot for so long? Are we supposed to look at whoever that is back there? But they don't like put any focus on the person. They're just standing there. So I'm like, am I supposed to look at this person? Or did someone just forget to cut this?
Maybe someone missed the cue. I was low-key expecting Rosemary to show up like, why the hell do you have it?
Well, because normally this is what you would see, is like somebody's lurking in the background. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought I was supposed to look at. But I, knowing this company, it's entirely possible that someone just didn't cut, like they cut too late. And it just looks like an awkward hang on the end of the segment.
Happens now, to the best of us.
Sure. Whatever you say. Now, let's talk about it. Ash wins the Knockouts World Championship. This is something you and I have been talking about for a very long time on the post show, ever since Ash debuted in TNA. And we both agreed, do not put the title on her. Do not like show restraint. And TNA showed restraint for a very long time, putting that title on her. I think I'm of multiple mindsets here. There is the outpouring of support that Ash has seen for having won, people saying that she deserves it. And this is something you and I have talked about, that she is not only deserving, but has proven that she can hold a title and carry a brand and be a locker room leader. We've seen this. She has come a long way from her NXT days, which people seem to be still stuck on for whatever reason. At the same time, storyline wise, this makes little sense. While I didn't want the TNA Knockouts title story to be a mirror image of the World Championship, which is what they were doing up until Heatwave. I didn't think that having Ash win made any sense, especially because she's a heel. And then you have Carlos Silva doing a whole like, congratulations, you're the best and I'm proud of you. And Ash is like, yeah, I rule, you know, and Carlos is like, anything you want. And I'm like, why are you more happy that she won for your brand and you're not upset that a heel won? Like, this is, again, why does Silva shouldn't care about whether or not TNA or NXT holds the title. He should care that TNA has the title, but he should care about who holds the title. So he shouldn't be as elated as he was in that backstager that they posted, where he was just like, yeah, you're so great. It's like, stop it. Just, in, you know, like, we're going to do a big party. It's like, but stop it. Don't let this be a thing. So the Knockouts title story now changes. It's not as important as the world title, because again, going into Bound for Glory, I just gave you a layout of what it could look like. Mm-hmm. But with Ash winning, it's very much a good thing for the sake of Ash working to deserve it, because she does. And she's mentoring two other people in her stable and she's got tag titles. So like the Elegance Era thing works. It's just, again, it's like you picked her. Why? When the story was you're saving the title from big bad NXT.
I mean,
why'd you go from a heel to a heel is really my point. You stole it from Masha. Masha, we don't know what her situation is going to be contract wise at the end of the year. Were you going for shock in a moment, or were you actually planning to just move on? Just be like, all right, we did it. Now we got to just, we did the moment. Now we can just move on with whatever plans to get Indy the championship.
Maybe. I don't like to use the word transitional champion, because I think everyone has their purpose, has their place. And even if your job is to get the belt off of one person onto another, you're still a champion. I don't like the term. That's just me. Okay. However, I think that in this situation, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Masha's real tough. JC cheats Masha out her boots. Elegance Brand cheats them. People are all cheating. That's fine. You now have it off of Masha, who's dominant, credible. We can't stop singing her praises, who's beaten the crap out of almost everyone, loses it to nefarious means. And the person, how you lose them is how you get it. So, of course, Ash is going to take it. And now, like, jokes aside, now the other girls can play with it. You know what I mean? Maybe Masha takes some time off. I want to say that I've heard rumors, or is Masha maybe going to WWE, or WWE has eyes on her? I don't know. But if she is, you know what I mean? Now you have the opportunity to build up other people. Do I agree with it storyline-wise? Like, in the sense of Carl Silver, like, hey, thank you so much. Sure. Both of my main titles were gone. Even if you are a jerk, you're still my jerk. So I'm going to take it. Overall, though, it's like, I got to say, it doesn't make a lot of sense, like you said. But in the confines of their cheating, I'm a cheat too. Masha was not going to be able to out-cheat this girl. Ash can. Ash got the people. She got the numbers. Baby JC Jane and her first title defense, because you get your contractually obligated, whatever. And it's fine. But if we go back to, like I said, the other side of the wrestling coin, not every woman has to be brutal. Bryan Danielson. You can't have Nikki Bella on the other side. You can't have Brie Bella on the other side, if that makes sense.
It does. I'm curious as to what went into the decision to have JC win the title, Ash win the battle royal that gave her a title shot to get to this triple threat that they eventually did a heat wave when Masha was there. And I'm not saying it should have been Masha winning the title back, but I'm certainly of the belief that Ash just suddenly winning it made littler sense. She pinned Masha Slamovich. JC's probably done. This was probably the end for Fatal Influence in NXT tonight, because they lost the tag match. We'll talk about that in a minute. But like, this felt like this was the end. Fatal Influence, their story is done. They can go back to being NXT bound. Jasmine Nix is going to go after the speed title or whatever title of her own. And Fallon Henley is going to be whatever number three. And then you've got JC Jane, who's still the NXT Women's Champion. whatever the elegance thing is, again, it's in service of potentially Indy Hartwell. It just felt like a really weird detour that they wanted to take because somebody between WWE and TNA thought that, oh, we'll give them both titles at the end of Slammiversary, which again, why are you cutting off your nose despite your face? Because it made your company look less than, it made your company look silly, and they thought it was going to bring in more numbers, more prestige, whatever, because a WWE guy has our title. It's not Mercedes Moné. This isn't Mercedes working the indies. It's a very interesting story that they thought they had, or maybe they were going to do. Nice. And now they're where they are. Ash has the title. And I'm glad she does. Again, it's deserved. She's a very competent wrestler. She has come very far. She has gotten better. Giving her time to have explored her story and her character has worked wonders for her in TNA. She is deserving of it. It's just also, she's a heel. Why are you celebrating that she won the title other than she's bringing it back?
I mean, this is a strange face right now. The system are good guys. So this is bizarro. This cat being nice is bizarro. And this is the dirt cat. So everything's bizarro today.
Speaking of bizarro, Meet Normus, who we love, sends a super chat saying, didn't win the jackpot, but I won $4 from Powerball. Let's crank.
Come on now.
Got to cut a cathartic you people promo at work. Meet got a raise. Congratulations, by the way. How are you people doing? Cresta, love you like a fat kid loves cake, he says.
I love cake too. I love cake and Benjamin Hanna's.
Benjamin, nice. Where they make the food in front of you?
Yes. Benny Hanna's is their nickname. Benjamin Hanna's is their full name. You see, I look like an evil person. Bring me the Benjamin Hanna's.
Bring me a million Benny Hanna's.
That's what she's waiting for. She's waiting for food. So the best way to get food is to tell you guys, wrap it up.
Wow. Listen, we got to get through it. So here we go. The inspiration to feed Jasmine Nixon Fallon Henley, as I mentioned, the catapult Pele kick was cute. It was good. They did the Jeremy Lambert tag break spot that I hate more than anything. And it looked awfully overplanned. I'm going to be honest. This was not a very good match. It wasn't very well worked. Fatalizer, Nix eats the pin. The inspiration continued their path to the Knockouts World Championship. And like I said, it feels like this was the end of Fatal Influence and TNA.
Yeah, I wasn't really crazy about this match, but you already heard my diatribe about how every part of women's wrestling is important. So I will admit that I missed the influence when they were gone. So I'm not going to sit up here and be a hypocrite and say that I'm sports confused as to why they're back.
But here they are. They're back. Ryan Nemeth comes out. My big brother returns next week. That brings out Edward Edwards and Lish for whatever reason. Lish is trying so hard to explain why they've turned babyface. She said, we got a new attitude, which completely still doesn't explain the babyface turn. She's like, we're going to right some wrongs. We're going to make good on some things. And I'm like, all right, sure, whatever. Edwards chops Nemeth, and then apparently Santino made the match. Edward Edwards defeats Ryan Nemeth. Nemeth begs Lish to slap him towards the end. Edwards fires back and then hits a great standing tiger bomb. And then the Boston Knee Party gets the win. There you go. The Edwards is reign supreme.
Two things. I don't think, after seeing Christian Cage on Wednesday, I don't think the system needs to go full face. Why are you guys being good guys? Because we can't. Shut the hell up. Just do the same shtick, but for the right reasons.
Like these people anymore, so we're going to fight them.
Yeah, because we trust the system. And if the system doesn't like you, we don't need any other motivation besides that. Number two, Joel, when I'm about to come back from my break, I need you to go, my big co-host, my big sister, the star will be back in 4 weeks.
Bet. I will do it. I will be solo. I will do it. By the way, yes, you heard right. Chris is going to be taking a brief hiatus. I will be here solo starting in a couple of weeks. I think next week is the last week, right, that you're here?
Today's the 20th. Yes, next week. Live after next
episode.
Week, I'm out of here.
There you go. So I'm going to be solo starting not next week, but the week after. So set your watches accordingly. I will need your support. I will need your love. I will need your help. Much like JDC, Cresta will be out indefinitely. That was out of nowhere. I'm sure it's nothing, but
it was not indefinitely. I'll be back in 6 weeks. I'm about to go find my smile.
Bitch, I was trying. Well, I don't know why I just started with that. I was just trying to tie everything together.
It's okay.
Damn it. Anyway, we did that one. Tasha Steelz defeats Mara Sade. This was fine. The story here was Big Bill Zero. The great hands interfere. There's a near fall out of that. And then Mara gets her finish her. Then Hotch and Skylar interfere. So Sade dives out on Skylar, stands up to Big Bill Agent Zero, not Big Bill, the AEW wrestler, Big Bill Collier. We're just going to call him Big Bill Zero. Tasha Steelz has enough time to recoup, hit a cutter, get her feet on the ropes, get the win. And then Big Bill Zero clotheslines Mara Sade, which is a hell of a clothesline. He walloped her. Look good. Hardys come out. They beat down Order 4. They've got a six-man tag next week for the live show with the Hardys and Mara Sade against the good hands, the great hands, and Tasha Steelz.
Want to give Mara Sade her shout-outs for taking out the good hands, because mind your business. The match itself was okay. The Hardys are the worst people to run out for you, because you got Jeff who stay at the top of the ramp. So you waited till after this man sauntered into the ring. You should have been out there.
Matt's got in the ring. Yes.
Bro, by the time they got Mara Sade, they was dead. And then they still walked out there. They walked. No sense of urgency. I love the Hardys, but you are the worst. You're the worst friends to call in.
No, it's because they look at it and they're just like, oh, she can't get any deader.
She can't get any deader. Yo, the Hardys are the best, worst team. I like, in a fight, yes, great. Team Extreme. If I need to tag you in and you're not there, yo, I better go pray to my maker, because this curtain's for me. By the time you come out, my head is flashed. You got to hit your, you got like to quote, you got to get your shit in at the top of the ramp. I'm dead.
All of this to lead to the main event. The Hardys defeat Leon Slater and Cedric Alexander. This is a great match, by the way. I messaged Cresta. I'm like, this is a 30-minute match? Ain't no way.
Nor. It wasn't.
You know what I'm saying. It was not. It was a crisp 18, and it was good. They very clearly all know each other. Cedric Alexander is a WWE product, or at least spent a lot of time in WWE. The Hardys are the Hardys. Leon Slater and the Hardys have their past. This was, again, really fun match to go back and watch. Slater rolls into the Senton 450. He rolls out of it because he goes for it and he misses. And then they do the trade of the Twist of Fate until Jeff hits his. And then Slater jumps into a Twist of Slate, which was really well done. I really enjoyed that. Alexander tries to blind tag, and he does. And the Swanton 450 misses from Slater. So Alexander gets a Tornado DDT Flatliner. And Matt Hardy hits a Twist of Fate. Jeff Hardy hits the Swanton. The Hardys win. And there's love from both sides at the end of the match. That was a very convoluted way to finish that match, but it was a very well done match. Go check it out, because my recap does nothing.
I will say that commentary did a good job of putting over the veteran versus young man, young boy, you know, because yeah, you're champion and we mentored you. But while you're holding back, I know that we'll shake hands, drink a beer after this. I'm going to fight you in this ring. I'm trying to win. And once you started getting comfortable getting your stride, then Leon Slater was able to do the counters. Cedric Alexander. He's always going to be high flying, you know, move diving. He's really, really good at what he does. But the story here, and I think you said it earlier, was Cedric trying to weasel his way into gold using Leon. But Leon, whether he's babyface or just a good guy, you weren't going to beat the Hardys, because I taught you everything you know, not everything I know, pal. Come on, stop it. We're not there yet. You won it, okay? Me and my brother's been doing it. You just met this guy, all right? Knock it off. I respect it. I'm sure every young man or every young girl has a story about when their parents pissed them off and you said, you know what? I could take this old guy, this old gal. And maybe at that time, your parent gave you the what for. Not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm sure we all had that. We're like, yeah, you better be quiet, old man. And next thing you know, you wake up 3 days later, like, what happened?
Where'd it go? Someone asking in the chat if SP3 might get a tag a few times. He might. I love working with SP3. I work with him on In the Weeds over on Fightful Overbooked. He's there twice a week, and I'm there three times a week. So I love SP3. There's a possibility that if he wants to, he and I can talk about the show. It's just easy for me to go solo because I can yap. And also I already have the backdrop set up. So, you know, one less thing for me to do. But it's true.
I mean, honestly, I mean, and at this point, SP3 is like the substitute teachers. I know he's going to be doing Collision for a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so. Busy I think man. It's important to get your mental health because for the most part, I don't really like not be here during the year. So I gotta go be a chupacabra in the woods for a couple of days.
Do your thing. Well, you're with us next week. Next week, the Celebration by Elegance will be here. Nick Nemeth returns the Big Brothers. The brothers are going to take on Edwards and Myers. Jody, Indy, and Danny have a number one contendership match for the Knockouts title. Great Hands and Tasha Steelz versus Hardys and Mara Shade. Should be fun. It should be good. I'm looking forward to that.
I was actually excited when, oh my goodness. NXT general manager, The Rock's daughter. I don't know.
Ava.
Okay. I was actually excited when Ava called out the speed title and said Zaya Brookside should be in it. Fuck, because, man. Yeah, but if anyone is NXT coded, it is definitely Zaya Brookside.
Yeah, because she was NXT UK until the pandemic kept her there. Yeah, she used to work for the damn company.
I don't watch wrestling.
She got released and everything. Her dad is a coach at the PC. Like, what do you expect?
My name is Cresta Starr. I'm a fraud and I also don't watch wrestling.
My favorite, I've said this before, the speed title is like all the comedians now who do nothing but like crowd work comedy, and they post it to their TikToks and their Instagrams. And it's the get my shit in title. It is 3 minutes with zero work. It's just move, 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 move. Like there's no psychology. It's just do shit for the sake of doing shit. It's not good.
Spot fest. Come on. Super kick party.
You don't have enough time to hit the super kicks. You got to hit all the topes you can. Anyway, listen, they're doing it until they find a new home for the stupid title. And they wanted to make Sol Ruka look better by having her be a double champion. Hey,
she's really good.
Do you know who the men's speed champion is?
Akira Tozawa.
El Grande Americano. Which one?
Which one?
Exactly. Yes. Whichever one comes to work that week.
That's, man, I want to hate the Grande Americano gimmick, and I did in the beginning. But something is kind of ironic and funny about a dude playing an American dude, playing a Mexican dude, a German dude, playing a dude, playing a dude.
Great movie. Fantastic movie. By the way, it's still shit at 5 minutes for a title match. I know you know this, Scott, but it's not a good answer. It's so dumb.
What's the Spider-Man mean?
Yeah, it's the three of them especially. Anyway, that's Impact and God knows what else is happening. So next week we're back. Live show should be fun. Something to talk about. Let's talk about it. Cresta Starr, put yourself over.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you so much for being here. I always have fun with you. Next week will be my last week for a little bit. I will be gone for, I think it's about 6 weeks. I, again, have to get my mental health in order. Over that time, I will say, check me out on social media. I'll be derping, bopping around. Send me suggestions of wrestling things to watch. Just at me and send it to me. Joel Pearl told me about a really interesting interview with Saraya. So I'm definitely going to look that up and watch all of that. You can find me anywhere. You can type in CrestaStarr, even on Blue Sky. On Twitter X, it is Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. Hopefully I'll be updating my YouTube soon, but editing is hard. But you know what isn't hard? Leaving a thumbs up on this video and making sure you take care of yourself. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
I should probably talk about that interview real quick. Deonna Purrazzo, former Knockouts champion, and Steve Macklin, current TNA international champion. They were guesting on Saraya's Rule Breakers podcast. Got a chance to watch that today. The interview dropped today. Very good stuff. Not only do they talk about their personal relationships, but also a little bit about production and wrestling and producing as an agent and things like that. Really, really fun stuff. The fundamentals of wrestling are discussed. I like that stuff. I hope you will too. That is an interview worth watching. I think Saraya's taken as a pretty damn good conversationalist, podcaster, whatever you want to call her, and having Deonna and Steve there made for a good conversation. So go watch that. Cresta will be back with me next week. And then I cast her to the Dark Realm for 6 weeks. And she comes back maybe after Father James Mitchell finds her or something. Anyway, we'll see. You know who she is because I just told you. You know who I am. In the Weeds tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, over on Fightful Overbooked. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary. See you in the next one. Cheers.